All right, Dorian said. Turn on the record. I thought it might be fun.
He looked at Ignatius, who was snorting loudly.
I'm afraid, my dears, that it turned out to be a terrible, terrible bomb.
Wonderful. Dorian's magnificent.
There's the plug. I love Lena.
I truly think that this is her very best recording.
So smart, those special lyrics.
I saw her in New York once. Magnificent.
Play Gypsy next. I adore Ethel.
Oh, good, it's coming on.
There Ignatius stood like the boy on the burning deck. The music rose from the tabernacle once again. Dorian fled to speak with a group of his guests, actively ignoring Ignatius, as was everyone else in the room. Ignatius felt as alone as he had felt on that dark day in high school when in a chemistry laboratory his experiment had exploded, burning his eyebrows off and frightening him. The shock and terror had made him wet his pants, and no one in the laboratory would notice him, not even the instructor, who hated him sincerely for similar explosions in the past. For the remainder of that day, as he walked soggily around the school, everyone had pretended that he was invisible. Ignatius, feeling just as invisible standing there in Dorian's living room, began feinting at some imaginary opponent with his cutlass to relieve his self-consciousness. Many were now singing with the record. Two began dancing near the phonograph. The dancing spread like a forest fire, and soon the floor was filled with couples who swayed and dipped around the Gibraltar of a wallflower, Ignatius. As Dorian swept past in the arms of the cowboy, Ignatius tried futilely to attract his attention. He attempted even to stick the cowboy with his cutlass, but the two were a wily and elusive dance team. Just as he was about to evanesce completely, Frida, Liz, and Betty burst in from the kitchen.
"We couldn't take that kitchen anymore," Frida said to Ignatius. "After all, we're human beings too."
She gave Ignatius a light punch to the stomach.
"Looks like you're left out, Fats."
"Just what do you mean?" Ignatius asked haughtily.
"Looks like your costume's not going over too well," Liz observed.
"Pardon me, ladies. I must leave."
"Hey, don't go, Tubby," Betty said. "Somebody'll ask you. They're just trying to bitch you. Don't give up the ship. They'd bitch their own mother."
At that moment, Timmy, who had slipped out to the slave quarters again to look for his missing charm bracelet, and, he hoped, more games with the chains, appeared in the living room. He wandered over to Ignatius and asked wistfully,
"Do you want to dance?"
"There, you see,"
Frida said to Ignatius.
"I want to see this," Liz shouted. "Let's see you two do the limbo. Come on, I'll get a broom we can use for the pole."
"Oh my God," Ignatius said. "Please, I don't dance."
"Oh, come on," Timmy said. "I can teach you. I love to dance. I'll lead."